From the book of 1 Samuel, if you'd like to follow along, you can find that on page 244 in the Old Testament portion of your scripture today. There was a certain man named Elkanah. He had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now this man used to go up year by year from his town to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh, where the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests of the Lord. On the day that Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to his wife Peninnah and to all of her sons and daughters, but to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her. Though the Lord had closed her womb, her rival used to provoke her severely to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. So it went on year by year. So often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. Therefore Hannah wept and would not eat. Her husband Elkanah said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? Why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons? After they'd eaten and drunk at Shiloh, Hannah rose and presented herself before the Lord. Now Eli the priest was sitting there beside the doorpost of the temple, and she was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. She made this vow, "O Lord of hosts, if only you will look on the misery of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a male child, then I will set him before you as a Nazarite until the day of his death. He shall drink neither wine nor intoxicants, and no razor shall touch his head." As she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth, and Hannah was praying silently. Only her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, "How long will you make a drunken spectacle of yourself? Put away your wine." But Hannah answered, "No, my Lord. I am only a woman deeply troubled. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation all the time." Then Eli answered, "Go in peace. The God of Israel grant the petition you have made to him." And she said, "Let your servant find favor in your sight." Then the woman went to her quarters. She ate and drank with her husband, and her countenance was sad no longer. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. I visited with a couple a few days ago who shared with me that they had been married for 52 years. Their life began together when he was a traveling salesman, and he went to Ripley to Hillman Hopper's home appliance store, and he saw an advertisement on the front door about a concert being performed at Blue Mountain College. And he said, I picked out the prettiest girl on the program, and I circled her name, and I went to try and get a date with her. He said the first date, he had to sit in the parlor while the matron of the parlor sat across the room with her arms crossed and a scowl on her face. That was their first date. After they began to trust him a little bit, the next thing he was offered was a date to have a Coke with her. And then eventually, their third date, they got to leave the campus. He said, "I finally, after months of courting, got up the nerve to ask her to be my wife." He says jokingly, he said, "I phoned her and I asked her, 'Will you marry me?' She answered, 'Absolutely.' And then after a brief pause asked, Who is this anyway? And such their life of 52 years has been filled with joy and laughter and love. This is the season of marriages, of celebrating weddings and two lives becoming one. We'll begin in just a few weeks the new life of Patrick and Julie, and as they begin those festivities even today. I also got to visit recently with Brooke and Andrew Hopper, who began their life together. And during that time of pre-marriage counseling with Brooke and Andrew, I shared with them some insights. I'm working, as many of you know, on my doctorate of ministry, and a most recent project I worked on was counseling, pre-marriage counseling. And from that, the research and study and scriptural investigation, I came up with what I call a model, a two-step model of the marriage dance. The two-step model of a marriage dance reminds us that marriage is much like a dance. It begins with an attraction for your partner. And it continues, and as you dance, there's often unexpected movements or turns. And unless we're willing to adjust and to continue moving, the dance ends. So it is with marriage and life and family. So today, as we reflect upon this gift of marriage, this gift of life where two become one, I want to share that model with you. And I remind you today that we record this audio. If you don't get it all, it will be on our Facebook page. We will send this out electronically through email, so you're welcome to share this with family and friends or young couples. It's certainly sensitive to our church community too, as we begin a new young marriage couple class this Wednesday that Jenna and Austin will provide leadership, along with Lynn and Kenny and Manya and myself. But as we reflect today on the gift of marriage, I want to share with you this model that I think could be a gift to all of us, even those who aren't married. Perhaps we're in other family relationships, or relationships with friends, or at work, or school, as young people, or old people, living together in relationships with others. So may we pray that God speaks into us a gift of His model of marriage and other relationships with one another. To begin this model of marriage, I like the word love, don't you? Love, in the acronym that word can say to us and speak to us of things that we can apply in our life together. So to begin, when I think of love, the first letter of that acronym, it reminds me of the importance for us as couples, for us in relations with others, to embrace the L of love and to listen. Communication, friends, is paramount in life together that we share with another. It's paramount whether we're working in the transportation industry like Benton. It's paramount in the school setting, and as coaches, we need to listen, coach, don't we? Often to be heard. Communication, dear young couples and older couples, is paramount to your life together. In our scripture today, this reading from the Old Testament, where Hannah is feeling depressed and downtrodden and filled with grief, let's be honest and call it what it is. Do you hear that in that passage, she pours out her heart to her husband? And here's why. You know why she poured out her heart to him? Listen, men, because he asked. He asked. He was willing to listen. He said, Hannah, what troubles you? Hannah, why won't you eat? Why are you downtrodden? Can we talk about it? Or even better, can I listen to you? The first letter of the model of the marriage dance is to listen through love. The next letter of the O acronym is to offer forgiveness. Ladies, now I'm going to preach to you. I preach to the men a minute. Guess what? If you haven't figured it out yet, your husband is going to blow it sometimes. Guys, I'm saving us here, okay? We're not real smart. I know you ladies want us to be able to read your mind and know what to do. You don't want us to have to ask, but we have to ask. We don't know. We are different husbands and wives, right? We think differently. We respond differently. We are from two different planets, some writers say, correct? Bear with us. And when we blow it, ladies, forgive us. And men, forgive your wives. Forgiveness is paramount in marriage, Patrick and Julie. In relationships, young couples. We have to forgive because we're human and we're broken. In our scripture today, I think there's a call for forgiveness. And sometimes it transcends the marriage relationship. Sometimes it's the family. Those even beyond our walls. Hannah, in our passage today, found herself under attack by her rival, the other wife. Well, we think we've got trouble. Elkanah had, well, let me not go there. Hannah needed to offer forgiveness to another as well. Isn't that important, church? So often when we harbor a lack of forgiveness, it hurts us. It steals our joy, even more than the one we don't forgive. Loving relationships involve listening and offering forgiveness. The third letter of the model of love is the V. And that's a reminder to us to value the other. To value the one we share our life with. To not take them for granted. To cherish their love as the gift that it is. Wow. What a gift to have another share their life with you. And to say, I want to be one with you. Friends, that is priceless. It is a gift from God. It is a gift blessed by our Lord Jesus. Value that relationship. And here's what I mean when I say value it. At some point, we need to do something with our love. We need to apply our love. We need to put it into action. You see, when we value our spouse, our loved ones, we love them with our head and with our hands and with our heart. I remember Stephen Covey saying once, telling the story of the man who said he'd fallen out of love with his wife. He just didn't have those feelings anymore. Covey said, well, you need to love her. The man said, well, that's the problem. I don't love her anymore. He said, yeah, I understand what you're saying. You need to love her. He said, well, it's just not there. The fire is gone, Doc. It's not there. He said, I'm not speaking of love, the noun. I'm talking about love, the verb. Love is an action. And the more we do love, the more we feel love. You see, the more that we understand and value our partner from our head, we understand how important they are. We're going to want to do something with our hands. We're going to want to love them. And when we love with our head and our hands, friends, then we're inspired to love with our heart. Then the emotions come. I'm reminded of the story of the woman and man who were facing divorce. And the woman's attorney inspired her, said, butter him up real good. Some of you have heard this story. It's worth repeating. Butter him up real good. Treat him like the king of Mississippi. Cook all of his favorite meals. Wear these beautiful clothes. Take care of the home. Treat him like a prince. And when he gets to liking it real good, we'll drop those divorce papers on him like a ton of bricks. Payback. So that was her plan. She put it into practice. She buttered him up. Treated him like the king of Tennessee. Not even Mississippi. All the way up there. Cooked all of his favorite meals. Was always beautiful, kind, loving, nurturing. This went on for months. The attorney had forgotten about it, and he ran across her name on his desk, and he said, "Hey, what about it? How's it going? I haven't heard back from you. How's the plan working?" She said, "Like a charm." She said, "It's working like a charm." He said, "Great. Do you think it's time to draw up the divorce papers now that he's really enjoying it?" She said, "Divorce? We have never been happier." You see, when she gave to him, he gave back to her. There is value when we value the other. Work your love and life together. The next letter of the love model is the E. And when we think of E, I am reminded that we need to encourage the other. To encourage the others, we began our gathering this week with our young adults. The resource we'll be using is the 5 Love Languages by Gary Chapman. Wonderful resource. If you've read any of Gary Chapman, he's an outstanding author and psychiatrist. Perhaps psychologist, rather. And in that, Chapman encourages us to speak the love language of our partner. Some like gifts. Some have words of affirmation at the top of their priorities. Others appreciate acts of service. Speak your friend, your partner, your loved one's love language. And encourage them. Marriage counselor, Professor Ed Worthington says this. We need to practice a 5-to-1 positive to negative ratio of encouragement. What does that mean? That means if I say something negative, I need to say 5 positive things to offset it. Or do 5 positive things to offset it. Have a 5-to-1 positive to negative encouragement for the one you love. Friends, that's producing a life together that will last called love. So that's the first step of the marriage dance. The next step, quite simply, that I've shared with some of you before is an acronym titled PRAY. And yes, it applies to our marriages, but it applies to our personal life. To wherever we are in our life, whatever challenges we face, friend, the root and power there for us is gathered in prayer to our God who loves us. So we combined our commitment to love with our commitment to pray God's love into us and into the other. So the first letter of the second step of the marriage dance, the P for prayer, is actually a call for us to do that, to pray. To pray regularly throughout the day, to entrust and rely upon God's grace. In our scripture today, did you hear how Hannah, that was the beginning of restoration for her when the scripture said this. I love the way the translator places it here, that Hannah presented herself before the Lord. She prayed. God's strength into her need. Friends, pray. I'm not preaching at you. I'm telling you as one who has tried to go it alone in life and in marriage. When we pray and say, God, there cannot be 2 people in this relationship. There needs to be 3. We must have your presence. Pray. The R of the PRAY acronym, the second step of our marriage dance, is to read Scripture. To read Scripture daily. To find in it the wisdom that we don't have on our own. To rely on God's words of life to guide us. in our businesses, in our marriages, in our life. The A, the PRAY acronym that applies to marriage, but also all of us as individuals. Remember this, church. Hold on to this. The A of the PRAY acronym is to adore God in worship. Go to church. Worship regularly. Weekly, at least. I speak to you, one who's experienced that. As a young marriage couple, Manya and I weren't in church. We were people of faith. We had the roots. We were busy, right? You're too busy not to go to church, friends. You must. Because you need a strength beyond your own. There's something holy when we worship together as a couple and count our blessings together. And when we are thankful, I don't know about you, but I am a more joy-filled and happier person when I'm thankful. This is holy what we're doing together. God calls us to worship because He loves us and He wants for us our best life. Couples, go to worship together. That's the A of the PRAY, adore God in worship. And finally, the last letter of the marriage model is the Y. And that's a call for us to yoke ourselves together and with Christ in His work. We think of those oxen that they used to farm with. Lorenzo, I hope you never farm with oxen. But back in the days, years ago, right, you'd have two oxen in the yoke and they would work together. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls and strength for your journey. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Friends, what I'm saying is, work at it. Yesterday we had a wonderful commencement exercise we got to share in at Blue Mountain College. Some of you may have seen the newspaper article in the Daily Journal this past week about a headline that says, Venezuelan pitcher finds peace at Blue Mountain College. Wonderful young man named David Torres, one of our Noah's best friends on the baseball team. And David walked across that stage yesterday and received his diploma. And he's going to be a positive influence on our community and culture. And representing his family there yesterday was my wife, Manya. My parents, Sherry and Gerald, and me. We were part of his family. And we went. We went because we valued his relationship and we wanted to work and show our love for him. We were yoking ourselves with him. In that commencement, former lieutenant governor and dear friend of our family, Amy Tuck, said this. She said, so often, she quoted Thomas Edison here, she said, so often opportunity is missed because it's dressed in coveralls and looks like work. Work at your marriage. Work at relationships. Everything of value in life. We have to put a little sweat into it, don't we? All but the joy and the satisfaction when we give to a worthwhile project. Your marriage is worth it, young couples. Your marriage is worth it, older couples. Your relationships with your co-workers is worth it. Your ball team relationships are worth it. Work. Yoke yourself with one another to share God's love and trust in the strength of Christ to help you do what you can't do alone for His glory. Amen. Let's respond in faith. Oh, I preached a long time. I knew I should have watched my clock today, but will y'all forgive me?